Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best on the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we'll get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us this day and opening up the communication lines that we may do this broadcast. Father, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit and power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And so, Lord, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. We magnify you, dear God, because, you know, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be lifted up. So, Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And thank you for joining us in on this broadcast with your Spirit and releasing revelation, knowledge, understanding unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we'll continue on the Renouncing the Mormonism series, titled Renouncing Mormonism on the Coming, Resurrection, and Judgment. This is redone yesterday. We supposed to have done a broadcast, but had technical difficulties when I let us do so. Hey, praise God, we're here today, amen? We're here today, amen. So, once again, I want to start off reading to you guys from the Articles in Faith and Practice, which I've shared with you guys throughout the series of the Renouncing Mormonism series, that this is an article in Faith and Practice that the Lord inspired the men, on the temple lot to write, and it was inspired by the Lord for them to write it. And this is also part of the foundation that the church is to be standing on. And also through this, it gives the believers, especially who believe in the restoration work of the Lord Jesus Christ, restitution, restoration work, the right to renounce Mormonism, which was started by Joseph Smith, who once was connected to this work of restitution and restoration. And in his failings and pride, he started what is called Mormonism. So in this Articles of Faith and Practice, what is stand on, what we stand on, it gives us the right to renounce. And I want to read, it is number 6 in the Articles of Faith and Practice. It said, we believe in the literal second coming and millennial reign of Jesus Christ, in the resurrection of the dead and in eternal judgment, that men will be rewarded or punished according to the good or evil that they may have done. Amen. Will be rewarded according to the good or evil. We've been looking at this and what the Mormons teach on the coming, the resurrection, the judgment. And I want to read to you once again what we're dealing with here. One thing in the early part of this series we dealt with where the Mormons teach that, and let me paraphrase and give you an example. Let's say that if you didn't accept Jesus as Lord, didn't accept him, and you die, even in the hereafter, you're still given a chance to receive, quote, the gospel and go on to the heavenly kingdom. Well, I went over with you guys in the Word of God, but the Word of God shows that in this lifetime right here, this is the probationary period where you make the decision where you will be in the hereafter, okay? It's not after you die, okay? And this is why the Mormons teach baptism for the dead, because they teach that if you are a Mormon and you get baptized for a dead person and they hadn't accepted the Lord, then they're going to be notified, yes, after they had died, that you've done it, and they will have a chance to receive it so they can go on to eternal glory. Yeah, people, I'm not making this up, okay? And we see from the Word of God that that's not scripture. That is not from Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to continue to go on here, and I want to read from some research to you as we go on among this line. And we mainly are dealing with where the Mormons talks about that actually they said there are three kingdoms. They call it the 3 degrees of glory. And they said these three kingdoms where, you know, people would end up in, okay? One of the three kingdoms, okay? They actually throw a fourth destination in there, which they call outer darkness. And I want to read to you on that and come with some research to read to y'all. Then I'm going to come back with scriptures. Now, the last time I did this on this, I came to you strictly from the Bible. But this time I'm coming from the record of Nephi, okay, on the word of truth that people, that there are three primary kingdoms that the word of God does mention, okay? And we'll look at a little, some about it. Now, the first research I want to read to you, it is called Mormonism, Afterlife and Salvation, patheos.com, okay? And I want to read a little bit to you on that, amen. And they says on this website, it said one unique element of Mormonism is the concept of the fate of the soul after death. The founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, eventually developed a view of the afterlife that is much more complex than that held by most other Christian groups. Traditional language of heaven and hell and salvation and damnation do not work well in the Mormon content. Do you hear that? Now, I want to go on further, and he talks about, and I'm just kind of scrolling down here a little bit, and it says, in Mormon teaching, the final judgment comes in stages. The first stage occurs immediately after death. The disembodied spirit is judged as to its general goodness and is assigned to one of the two places, paradise or spirit prison. The souls in paradise enjoy peace of conscience and a time of rest. Those in spirit prison, by contrast, are tormented by guilt and are denied rest. Both groups, however, suffer because they are separate from their physical bodies, something that, according to Mormon scripture, the spirits view as a form of bondage. At the time of Christ's resurrection from the dead, the inhabitants of paradise were also resurrected. Those who enter the spirit world after Christ's resurrection, however, must await resurrection until the time of Christ's second coming on earth. Now, it goes on to say, eventually, after Christ returns to the earth, another stage in the judgment occurs. In order to understand this phase, it is first necessary to grasp the, now listen to this, the three-tiered hierarchy of heavens described by Joseph Smith. The highest heaven called the celestial kingdom. You hear that? They call it, you know, in some places they call it the 3 degrees of glory. Here they call it the three-tiered hierarchy of heavens. And the highest one is called a celestial kingdom. Okay? The celestial kingdom is the destination, listen to this, of those persons who accept all of the necessary rituals performed by the authority of the Mormon priesthood and who are veiled in their testimonies of Jesus Christ. Now, that's going to take part. This, they're the ones that's going to go to the highest, the highest of the heaven, which is the celestial kingdom, okay? Then it goes on to say, Mormons that believe missionary work continued among the spirits waiting in prison, and those who accept the teaching of Christ, teaching of the church in prison, are eligible for the celestial kingdom. So he said those that who are waiting in the spirit prison, they the ones that hadn't, you know, accept the Lord, whatever, who is not in paradise, they assume. And those who accept the teachings of the church in prison are eligible for the celestial. It is for this reason that Mormons perform temple rites on the behalf of the dead ancestors. Irrespective of when souls receive the necessary teachings and rituals, the people who make it to the celestial kingdom live in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ and are exalted. Now you say exalted to what? Godhood. Because remember, early on in the whole beginning of the series of Renouncing Mormonism, I show it to you where they believe that all that come in through the Mormon church and the Mormon way can eventually be exalted to Godhood, okay? Now, they go on to say the celestial kingdom itself is divided into three parts. The Mormon scriptures say it's nothing about the lower two level, but specify that only those persons who are married for time and eternity in Mormon temples are eligible for the highest celestial tier. The next level is the terrestrial kingdom. a place inhabited by men and women who live honorable lives and who accepted the atonement of Christ, but were not veiling in their testimonies of Christ. Residents of this kingdom enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ, but not God the Father. So in the celestial kingdom, you're gonna enjoy the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ, and you are exalted to Godhood, so you're up there with them, okay? In the terrestrial kingdom, those who live honorable lives, accepted atonement of Christ, but not veiling in what they call their testimonies of Christ, they're going to enjoy the presence of Jesus, but not the God the Father. Okay, the next one. The third destination of the soul is the celestial kingdom. It is here that all those sinners who refuse to repent will find themselves. In Mormon theology, Christ's suffering and death make it possible for a sinner to be released from the punishment of misdeeds in the afterlife if the sinner repents and accept Mormon baptism. Do you hear that? So even a sinner, after he done died, he done rejected Christ here in this lifetime, still have a chance after death if he received the Mormon baptism. This is after he dead now. Those who do not repent suffer during the afterlife, but even the darkest sinners eventually are redeemed through the atonement of Christ into a realm of glory. So in other words, you could do all the evil you want here on this earth and reject Christ. When you die, you still get a chance to go into a realm of glory. Wow. While they may enjoy the influence of the Holy Ghost, residents of the celestial kingdom are deprived of the presence of the Father and the Son. So you're going to enjoy the influence of the Holy Ghost, but you're not going to be in the presence of the Father and the Son. Very interesting. Now, this last one that they talk about, saying in addition to the three kingdoms of glory, a fourth potential destination also awaits certain souls. Outer darkness is a mysterious place that is the home of Satan and those spirits who follow him when he was cast out of heaven at the beginning of time. Listen to this. It is also the destiny of those persons who, while living on earth, had a perfect knowledge of the divinity of Christ, but choose to reject him and sin against his teachings. In outer darkness, there is endless lamentation and no divine presence. It is the closest Mormon analogy to the concept of hell in most other Christian traditions. So now, the fourth destination they thrown in there is called outer darkness. And, you know, it goes to show that, and maybe they have changed a little bit on it now, they don't like to say hell. They just like to say outer darkness. And the people that rejected Christ, you know, going to outer darkness. But it's amazing that if you are sent, well, those who, as they say, had the knowledge of Christ, but I guess you could say just going back and just reject them, then they get lost. But the sinner man can reject Christ in this lifetime, after he dies, still given a chance. Still given a chance. Now, I want to read to you another site, and this is on their personal website, and it's titled Kingdoms of Glory. Okay, Kingdoms of Glory. And I want to read to you, once again, and they mention these three tiers of hierarchy of heaven. These three kingdoms, okay, they said, through the atonement of Jesus Christ, all people will be resurrected. After we are resurrected, we will stand before the Lord to be judged according to our desires and actions. Now, one of the things about Mormonism, like a lot of these religions, they would take some truth and they'll mix it. So that's why you got to be careful. It's just like when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, was going forth to tempt Jesus. He quoted some scriptures. But see, one thing about it, he distorts it. He twists it in such a way you have to be watchful. Now, it goes on here to say, each of us will accordingly receive an eternal dwelling place in a specific kingdom of glory. In a specific kingdom of glory. They said the Lord taught this principle when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, they come from John chapter 14, verse 2. I think I said John 14 and 12. I was wrong when they actually said John 14 and 2. Okay? That's where they get in the scripture about this specific kingdom of glory. They go on to say there are three kingdoms of glory, and they name it the celestial kingdom, the terrestrial kingdom, and the telestial kingdom. And listen to this. The glory we inherit will depend on the depth of your conversion, expressed by our obedience to the Lord's commandment. It will depend on the manner in which we have received the testimony of Jesus. And they give their own scriptures from a book called Doctrines and Covenants. Okay? So, once again, they're talking about his three kingdoms, the celestial, the terrestrial, and the celestial. Okay? Now, my Lord, help us. And I want to get to you another website, and I think this is of their website too. It's called Understanding Mormonism website. And on this Understanding Mormonism website, they have on here concerning the judgment. It's called Understanding Mormonism website, the Last Judgment. Okay, it talks about the last, got different categories on this Understanding Mormonism, the Last Judgment. It got the Last Judgment, and then it got a question that says, how will we be judged? Who will judge us? But the one very interesting, more interesting they got is titled, what is the purpose of judgment? And I want to read it to you, what they said the purpose of judgment. All this is coming, all this come together, all this is witnessing to what they believe about the judgment. They said the purpose is to assign, the question is, what is the purpose of judgment? This is what they said. What is the purpose of judgment? The purpose is to assign individuals to a kingdom. Now, I'll stop right there and let that sink in. They said the purpose of judgment, talking about the final judgment now, is to assign individuals to a kingdom. We will be sent to one of four places, the celestial kingdom, which is the highest degree of glory. There you go, we'll say it again, the highest degree of glory. The terrestrial kingdom, which is the second degree. The telestial kingdom, the lowest degree, or outer darkness, the kingdom of the devil, not a degree of glory. Do you hear that? They said that was the purpose of judgment. Wow. I'm going to read to you one more, another one on their websites. It's called Judgment the Last. Okay. Once again on here, it says the final judgment that will occur after the resurrection, God through Jesus Christ will judge each person to determine the eternal glory he will receive. Do you hear that? What's the glory? They call it the three degrees of glory. This judgment will be based on each person's obedience to God's commands, including his acceptance of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which once again they said happened where? Not on the cross, but in the garden. Now, Lord help. Now, when I did this, this was Sunday, I went mainly in the Bible with you to, and what we looked at is how that, now they're talking about three kingdoms of glory. Now, the first thing I want to do, if you got your Bibles, open your Bible, and this is before we go to Reckoning Nephi, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I want to go there for a minute, and I'm going to tell you why, because some of you who have heard it know why I'm going there, but I just want to reiterate it and refresh minds on why this is so. Now, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read verse 39 to 41, okay? And this is where they're getting this three degrees of glory, okay, and about these three kingdoms. Now, look what it says in here. It says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies. What does celestial mean? Heavenly bodies. See, it referred to bodies here, people. and bodies terrestrial, which is what? Earthly bodies, okay? But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. This is where they're getting this 3 degrees of glory from. Besides John chapter 14, verse 2, that they're trying to use, which we talk about this in another time. But this is where they're getting it from. And we're going to come back to this, but I wanted to open up with this from the Bible to let you know, because some of you may say, well, where are they getting this degree? Is it in the Bible, in Scripture? No, it's not Scripture, in the Bible. But I'm showing you, and hopefully the Lord says the same later on, we'll look at this again another day, where they getting these 3 degrees of glory from, these three so-called three kingdoms, okay? Now, as I shared with you guys before, that the Bible does mention three kingdoms that have people, that have people or persons there. It doesn't mention a celestial kingdom, a terrestrial kingdom, and a celestial kingdom. And the three kingdoms I went over with you from the Bible, where it mentions the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of the devil, and the kingdom of God. So we're going to go into the record of Nephite here and look at some of these scriptures on that same thing. I want to go to you, like I said, one of God's other books called The Record of Nephite. And I want to read to you from what is called the Book of Mosiah, chapter 29, verse 16. The Book of Mosiah, chapter 29, verse 16. And I want to say to those of you who are first-time listeners, listen. I encourage you to go back and listen to the beginning of this part of the series. Now, it is being titled Renouncing Mormonism on the Coming Resurrection and Judgment. I didn't put no numbers like part one, part two, or part three, but listen to them all together with exception of the one yesterday, because we had technical difficulties where that we could not do a broadcast yesterday, okay? But definitely, besides yesterday, listen to all the others, okay? Amen. Glory be to God. Now, in Mosiah chapter 29, and I said 16, but chapter 29, I'm going to read to you verse 1 to 6, verse 1 to verse 6 in Mosiah chapter 29. And it says, now when Mosiah had done this, he sent out throughout all the land among all the people desiring to know their will concerning who should be their king. And it should come to pass that the voice of the people came saying, we are desirous that Aaron thy son should be our king and our ruler. Now this Mosiah was over here on this continent during this time. He was a king of kingdom over here. And at this time, he's, you know, turned to the people, want to know who they desire to be their king. And the people lift up their voice and said, we want your son, Aaron. And he said, now, Aaron had gone up to the land of Nephi. Therefore, the king could not confer the kingdom upon him. Okay. Neither would Aaron take upon him the kingdom. Neither was any of the sons of Mosiah willing to take upon them the kingdom. Therefore, King Mosiah sent again among the people, yea, even a written word sent among the people. And these were the words that were written, okay, saying, behold, O ye my people or my brethren, for I esteem you as such, for I desire that ye should consider the cause which ye are called to consider. For ye are desirous to have a king. Now I declare to you that he to whom the kingdom doth rightly belong, have declined, and will not take upon him the kingdom. So this was not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the devil. This would be more of the of an earthly kingdom here, or the kingdom of the world, the earthly kingdom, okay? Amen. And it mentions this here. See, because, see, you got earthly kingdoms. You got kingdoms of this world where, you know, it is not set up and based on overall God's system, okay? Now, God started organization, don't get me wrong. But this is more of a kingdom here where that, for example, this earth, see, Mosiah asked the people who they want to see be king, okay? And God set up kingdom, he sets up leaders, okay? He sets up rules. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to go to 1 Nephi chapter 22. 1 Nephi chapter 22. 1 Nephi chapter 22 and verse 22. Amen. Now, and here's the thing that I share with you guys about the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world at some point is still ruled over by the enemy, Satan, okay? And we saw in the Bible that the kingdoms of the world soon was going to become what? The kingdoms of our God. When you read in Revelation chapter 11, it said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. But before that time, Satan has a position or rulership in the kingdom of this world. Remember, and when he come to tempt Jesus, the Bible says he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, and he said, all this I give to you if you do what? Fall down and worship me. Now, even though some Christians want to debate and say the devil was lying, he was not lying. Because if he was lying, Jesus would definitely would have let you know that the enemy was lying, okay? But see, he had got that authority to do that because when Adam sinned, Adam forfeited his place. Now, in Nephi chapter, 1 Nephi chapter 22, verse 22, it says, and the righteous need not fear, for it is they which shall not be confounded. But it is the kingdom of the devil. Now, here go mention the kingdom of the devil, which shall be built among the children of men, which kingdom is established among them which are in the flesh. Okay? So the kingdom of this world, now remember, you got to remember what five things make a kingdom. You got to have a king. You got to have people, you got to have laws, you got to have officers, and you got to have a area, okay? The kingdoms of this world have more like earthly manly laws, laws that are man, okay, which in part can be influenced by Satan. Kingdoms of the devil kingdom, he have laws, but it's unholy laws as well, evil, okay, laws, okay? And here we read in the record of Nephi, that the kingdom of the devil is built up among the children of men, and it's established among them which are what? In the flesh. Okay? This is why Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 calls Satan the prince of the power of the air, which worketh now who? In the children of disobedience. Okay? So the kingdom of this world has unholy laws, got man-made laws, man-made doctrine laws. The kingdom of the devil has unholy laws, okay? Head up by a – see, the kingdoms of this world, their king is head up by an earthly man. The kingdom of the devil is head up by who? By devil, by Satan, okay? You understand that? So there's the kingdom of this world, there's the kingdom of the devil. And right now, the kingdoms of this world is being ruled over by who? The king of the devil. Okay? For now. But we once again, we saw John Revelator told us in Revelation chapter 11 that the kingdoms of this world will become what? The kingdoms of our God. Amen. And see, at that point, when that happens, the kingdoms of this world is going to be full of people that who are what? Obey God. See, when it's saying that, it ain't saying every single one going to be there because everyone is not going to choose to obey the true and living God. They're not going to be part of that. Understand that. When the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of our God, they're not going to be a part of that, people. I'm talking about those that don't want to obey God. See, when the kingdom of this world become the kingdoms of our God, that's going to be made up of people or nations that is going to be willingly choosing to serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you can say amen, oh me, or, you know, amen. But see, that's the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read a another verse. This is coming from the book of Alma, chapter 41, verse 4. The book of Alma, chapter 41, verse 4. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. The book of Alma, chapter 41, verse 3 and 4. Says, it is requisite with the justice of God that men should be judged according to the works, to their works. And if their works were good in this life, and the desires of their hearts were good, that they should also at the last day be restored to that which is good. And if their works are evil, they shall be restored unto him for evil. Therefore, all things shall be restored to their proper order, everything into its natural frame, mortality raised to immortality, corruption to incorruption, raised to endless happiness, to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it mentions the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about that one more in a minute. Because, see, who inherits the kingdom of God? Those are what? Okay? Raised from mortality to immortality, that what? Their works were good in this life. Okay? And they're raised to what? To endless happiness. Resurrected. Hallelujah. To endless happiness. They're the ones that's going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now he said, or to endless misery, to inherit the kingdom of the devil. The one on one hand, the other on the other. So Satan's kingdom is associated with misery. There is no true happiness in the kingdom of the devil, but there is true happiness in the kingdom of God. Okay? But there is no true happiness in the kingdom of the devil. Now, there's no true happiness. You think when Satan do laugh, it's evil, okay? There is no true happiness. There is no true peace, okay, in the kingdom of the devil. There is none. And we understand here that those who are resurrected to endless happiness will inherit the kingdom of God. So in the kingdom of God, there is what? Happiness. In the kingdom of God. Nothing but happiness. Amen. In God's kingdom. Hallelujah. See, it's amazing. And I was listening to, I think that was Little Richard. I think they said it was the last sermon or something he spoke before he died. And how he was talking about, like, when he went to church, I think he went to a Baptist church. He said everybody was going to hell. Okay. And it's amazing that how people puts everybody in heaven. Now, these same people down here that don't want to receive the Lord, don't like Jesus, tell you to your faith, you know, they go into service, they bored and all this and that. And then you put them in heaven. What make you think they would go to heaven after accepting the Lord? It's happiness in heaven. They'll be miserable, okay? Because they didn't love the things of God. See, it's nothing but happiness. Ain't no, you know, up there and people sick and walking around depressed and all that. That's not going on. It's not going on, people. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not going on. I know, you know, and it's just amazing how that people are automatically being put into heaven. Now, I want to read the scripture from Alma. This is Alma chapter 7, verse 21. Alma chapter 7, verse 21. And it says, and he, which is talking about the Lord, do not dwell in unholy temples. Neither can filthiness or anything that is unclean be received unto the kingdom of God. See, to go to the kingdom, there's one of the kingdom mentioned again, the kingdom of God. Therefore, I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. So the kingdom of God, once again, God's kingdom is a kingdom that does not what? receive uncleanness. See, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of the devil does. Amen. It's all kind of unclean acts. You look in the United States alone, okay? The answer for our king would be what? The president. You look at the United States alone, look at what he's doing. He's signing a bill to protect same-sex marriages. Now, God called it an abomination, people. And it's also an act of uncleanness, according to Romans chapter 1. So the kingdoms of this world do receive uncleanness, as well as the kingdom of the devil, okay? The kingdom of God don't, okay? Amen. That's the difference in the kingdoms, people. It ain't no celestial, terrestrial, and telestial kingdom. The scriptures don't speak of no three kingdoms, no three tiers of heavenly king. It don't speak of that at all. Wow. It just don't, people. But see, they, you know, come up with it. Mormonism. Teaching it. Amen. Many people, especially some being Christians, won't look it up. Won't look it up. And then just accepting it. Okay? Because they're talking about the, you know, we at a point, people, that we got to be willing to search things up or be deceived. Now, it's up to you, the individual. Okay? Yes, it's up to you, the individual. You either can, you know, when people tell you God this and God that, you can either go search it up and look it for yourself, or you just accept and be deceived. And that's what's going on with many of God's people today. Okay? Amen. Not searching up none, just going on what people are saying. 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 22. Mentioning the kingdom of God again. 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 22. And the word of God said, therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive. And remember, Jesus mentioned this in Matthew chapter 18. For such is the kingdom of God. There you go, kingdom of God again. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, the ends of the earth, and be saved. See, he mentioned the kingdom of God. Who's in the kingdom of God? He said, those who repent and come unto him as a little child. They're the kingdom of God. Not the people who in his lifetime say, hey, Jesus, get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. Don't bring me nothing else about Jesus. And then die. And then hereafter, all of a sudden, you go and you do some baptism for them. And they're already dead. And they get wind of it. Oh, okay, yeah, I want to receive that baptism. And now they go into a kingdom of glory. The only true kingdom of glory is the kingdom of God, people. That's the only true kingdom of glory. It's the kingdom of God. But once again, you got the Mormons. I mean, they putting some of whoever, you know. If you go by, see, Jesus, what he did for man, he opened up the way for man to dodge the eternal punishment. By what? They had to accept him as Lord. You can't reject him in this lifetime as Lord and reject his or what he did. And then in the afterlife, all of a sudden I'm going to make a decision. I'm gonna go ahead and say yes. Really? Really? I mean, you know, kingdom of God, people. Kingdom of this world. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of the devil. See, there's nothing but darkness in the kingdom of the devil. I mean, not just literal dark, which is that part of it too, But spiritual darkness, just darkness, okay? Glory to God. I thank God for his blessed word today. Amen. And I'm going to stop it here. And tomorrow, Lord, say the same. Tomorrow I will come with from the word of the Lord. Amen. But as I said, people, there is no three tiers of hierarchy of the kingdoms. When the smoke clears, you either belong to one or the other, kingdom of God, kingdom of the devil. I know there's the mention of the kingdoms of the world, but soon, as we see right now, even the kingdoms of this world is being ruled over by Satan, okay? But soon they're going to become the kingdoms of God. So when the smoke clears, people, you got so many people out there trying to play the in-between role. I ain't for Lord. I ain't against him. You know, I hear that, you know. I hear that being said. But, and I want to say this to you that's listening, who may be perhaps thinking that way. You may say, hey, I'm not against the Christians, but I ain't for them. I ain't against the Lord God, but I ain't for them. I just try to stay neutral. I'm going to hip you to something. And I don't want you to think I'm trying to put you in a forcing position, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There is no neutral. There is no in-between. And I'm here to let you know, according to what the Word of God has shown, you're going to be in one place or the other. You're not going to be, okay, I'm in a in-between place. There is no in-between place, people. There is none. You're going to either be all the way with the Lord Jesus or you're not. Now, some of you, well, that ain't what I've been taught. I understand that. But I'm pointing you, go study this thing for yourself. Now, I went into scripture to show you there's more than one. You know, the Bible mentions three kingdoms, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of the devil. Okay? But it doesn't mention no 3 degrees of glory. It doesn't mention no three kingdoms as celestial, terrestrial, and telestial. It does not, I repeat, it does not mention that, okay? Now understand, this is what the Mormons are passing over for to be the word of God. But my question to them is, who God? What God? You can't be talking about the true and living God because he ain't said nothing like that. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to be watchful of these doctrines that man and the devil is coming with. Okay? And be ready to stand with the word of God against it. Okay? We got to be ready, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified through who he is. He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Thank God for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Dear Lord, there's none like you. There'll never be none like you. There'll never be none before you. And Lord, I thank you for such this opportunity you've given for me to deliver your word, your message to the people. And Lord, strengthen them and keep them and bless them. Reveal truth to them. Open their eyes and their ears. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank the Lord for all you've been listening. Once again, Lord, say the same. I'll be back tomorrow And we're going to talk about from the record of need, I mean, for the word of the Lord. And we're going to talk about, and if time permits, we're going to talk somewhat about hell that they don't want to talk about, okay? So, once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on a broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.